I make my iced coffee a little too sweet. And I feel like a child when I drink it.
Is it mostly creamer?
It's mostly creamer. And you know what? I tell myself that it's okay because it's like sugar-free creamer. So it tastes sweet, but it's not chock full of sugar. But I still feel like
xylitol.
Stevia, thank you. I still feel like I'm drinking like a mudslide, like a children's drink. Well, a mudslide's very adult, but you know what I mean.
Well, but you know, I mean, like it's for the child in all of us.
Yeah, yeah. How else am I supposed to start my day?
Dude, I remember that being like a little kid, you know, and like, you know, when you're little and like, not even little, I guess when I was like a teenager and I would be like, I would look at drink menus and be like, what is going to be my first drink that I order whenever I get? And I remember it was always like the fucking chocolate martinis with like the Hershey syrup and whatnot. Yes. And I think those are so gross now. But like, I remember the first time I tried one and I was just like, oh, that's not what I thought.
My first legally ordered drink was indeed a chocolate martini.
We're the same.
Great that you bring that up. I really want to say, I'm pretty sure it was an Olive Garden.
Hey,
so
bougie. I was going to say Applebee's because that's where I remember seeing it on the menu in particular.
I remember seeing it at Applebee's, but I remember the drink. And I remember I made that guy ID me. I made him do it. There was no choice.
I'm in it for the novelty. Listen, homie. I don't care if you want to be nice to me.
And you know what's crazy? Is I got the chocolate martini because, you know, same thought process there. Sure. Like, oh, my, you know, my first. But I had had many drinks at this point. So I don't know why I was going for that.
Because it feels celebratory, you know? It feels like the equivalent of getting a free birthday dessert, you know, but like alcoholic.
I thought the word martini stuck in there made it classy.
Yeah, but I don't have quite the steel to drink a martini and not grimace all the way through it, unless it's just olive juice. If it's just olive juice with like a dash of vodka in it, maybe I can do that.
I love a super dirty martini.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
If it's a fucking vodka martini, that's about two shots of vodka. Insert vine here. But like two shots of vodka and four shots of olive juice, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. You know, like I need that as the cushion because, no. Not with vodka.
I love it. I love the taste. I love the taste.
Of a
real dirty.
Yeah.
I always say that, like, I got in the habit of saying a filthy martini because, like, sometimes you say dirty martini and they're like, okay, and it's just not.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, filthy.
No, you don't understand. Bring me one olive, please. Oh my gosh. So I want to talk, let's talk about the reception to last week's episode.
I'm pleased. I'm really, really happy. I'm glad it made people, feel good, which made me happy because I still, until like the day that it released, I was like, this is going to make everybody feel like shit. I just know it. And it was just, I don't know how, you know, but like, I'm glad that it landed the way we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was amazed to see over on Facebook there were people sharing stories from all sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, there were people who were like, hey, I've had XYZ done to me to make me feel better, or it was medical, or it wasn't medical. And then there was the other side of people who were like, hey, I haven't had anything done. And like, but still everyone, like there was something in that one that resonated, and that was cool to see.
Yeah, I was happy about that. That was a fun episode. And I think today we're just back to regular ass scheduled programming. We're back to Twister on cable today.
Oh God, Twister on cable is such a comfort. It's such a comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like you've missed school, whether you played hooky or you talked it yourself into missing school. And it's just, you're on the couch with a snack, maybe some Dunkaroos or those like long breadsticks you dipped in the cheese and like a drink. Maybe like an orange Fanta and Twister is on the TV.
Yeah. Oh, and you got like a blanket and you're like on the edge of sleep. Like you're still paying attention.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of hazy.
In like this sweet, sweet delirium. Yeah. That's where we're back to, but not that good.
Yeah. Let's not compare ourselves to that amazing moment. What are we talking about today?
I'm talking about something that I am really, and like, seriously, it was like when I was setting up that I was like, ooh, we might have talked about this before, but I didn't search. But I'm talking about blackberries. Have we done that?
I don't know.
I don't think we have. I really don't, think we have. I'm going to do a look. But here's the thing. Here's what I think about that. If I have no memory of it, then y'all probably don't either. We're going to do it again.
Well, see, the thing is I'll also do a search over here on my end, just to double team it. The thing is, we haven't really had that many episodes up until recently that were, you know, the fruit or the food themselves. It would have been more like blackberry root or blackberry
flower. We have not talked about the blackberry. But yeah, you're right.
What?
We have not talked about blackberries, which makes sense because I had no memory of it. I've started to notice blossoms popping up around the place, which makes me happy. So I was like, you know, I'm going to talk about the blackberry today.
I think you should. And I, this one, your cousin, Carlisle, is going to talk about witch's grass.
Sweet, lit, fucking
witch.
What?
I saw the name of, and I was like, how have we not talked about witch's grass?
I've never heard of it in my life.
Witch's grass. Witch's grass.
I like it. I like it. It sounds kind of fun. It sounds like a cute way to like refer to like weed.
I was literally thinking that. I was like, dude, any, you know, witch who smokes got witch's grass.
I thought witch's grass, you know.
I probably shouldn't smoke. Probably shouldn't smoke witch's grass.
Oh, will it kill you dead?
You know what? I don't know.
May or may not just like fuck your life a little bit.
We'll get into it. It's one of those that I will say proceed with caution about.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think I do go first because last time was kind of a scramble, not a scramble, but a,
it was a shared thing. Almost said burden, but that's not what I meant.
But before we go any further, we got to do a Patreon shout out. Thank you for checking out our Patreon. You keep the show alive. Mm. Keep us going. And you keep us able to bring you that good Twister on Cable content.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, you know you want it. You know you need it.
Yeah.
So thanks for y'all who allow it to be.
Today's Patreon, and thus the entire episode, is dedicated to Jalen S.
Jalen S.
Jalen S.
Okay, first thing, Jalen Ace, disgrace, evil as plain as the sky on his face, Jalen S.
First of all, I love that you immediately call our Patreon a disgrace. Of course, love it.
And evil, but that's why you're here.
Also, I have no idea what that song is.
Fucking Lion King 2, buddy.
Oh, God.
So it's when, oh, God, we've got to watch that. You need to see it and familiarize yourself to the level that I am with Lion King 2.
I have seen Lion King 2 as a child, and it was a movie that I saw and I went, okay, but then like immediately forgot it. And I'm such a simp for the like original Lion King. And I think it's just the absence of Scar.
Well, you gotta, here's the thing. There are two different entities. Like the second Lion King to me gets like really, it's softer. It's a softer movie all around, generally, except for the Deception Disgrace song, which just, well, and the villain song. The Scar villain is a badass. It's basically Scar's main bitch is the villain. And her name is Dira, and she's a badass. And so, like, she's the villain of the second movie. And so she's kind of like Scar. She has a badass termite's nest song, not too dissimilar from Scar. Except instead of everything being green, it's red.
Okay, listen. I see your passion. Mm-hmm. I respect it.
And you don't know what Inupindi is. You've got to watch Inupindi and hear how stupid that song is, Charlie. We will get there, okay? We'll get there.
Should I watch this today, directly after recording?
I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said that that would not make me happy. Except the only thing that makes me sad is that I would like to watch it with you, but I'll allow it.
You want to do a watch party?
How do those work? Do you know how
those work? I don't know. Somebody who's techie. Listen.
I think Kim has done it before.
Tell us how it works.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. I'd be into that.
Who wants to be our manager?
You need to quit asking this question because we can't afford to pay anyone. You ask this so often and we can't pay anyone. And we get emails that we can't pay people to do.
I'll just start tacking for free.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't. That would feel awful. That would
unpaid interns.
Mm. Oh, no. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay. Let's see. So before we've done our shout out. Thank you, Jalen S.
Jalen S.
The way you did that reminded me of, do you remember when you sang the Frosted Flake song?
Yes.
If anybody has been around a long time, in an early episode, I don't know if it was a Patreon shout out or what, but Mace sang the Frosted Flakes are more, except instead of are more than good, she said are more than great.
I blew my load too early.
She got confused when the next part came up, which is they're great. But like, I can see it scanning in your brain when you did it.
It's like the math woman meme.
Yeah. Your Frosted Flakes are more than great. They're great. Do we have announcements before we begin?
Keep an eye out for WBAH Print Shop to open back up again, to fling its doors wide. And it just be ready. There's spring.
We've got
is here.
The first print of 2022, spring. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess winter kind of still count. You know,
listen. I feel like the last year's spring print was early spring. It still had snow on the ground. And like, you know, it was very kind of still like, this is like late spring. So this is the season time are going to be kind of moving around. These aren't going to be set dates, except there's probably always going to be one in October, of course.
Well, yeah, sure. But yeah, no, I enjoy having these represented seasonally and kind of, I love how Lyra can kind of capture the different like parts of the seasons. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I have not yet seen what it's going to be.
Either. Have you seen it? I know of what it is. I know of what it is and I can't wait to see what she's done because this is going to be so badass. It's going to be so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm very excited. So there's that. Keep the WBAH Print Shop. We will hit you up when we have more information, but just kind of keep an eye on it. I also wanted to talk about this quickly at the beginning. So when we do our research for our topics, you have surely run across the thing where you type in, say, like today, like witch's grass. You type in whatever you're talking about and you are doing research and you stumble across websites that are selling pouches or whatever of the herb or the crystal or whatever, right? Whether it be Etsy shops or just what's the one that comes up a lot that are selling it. And they might also contain some information about the thing. The example I was giving was Lucky Mojo. Lucky Mojo is one that I think we have both come across a lot. Because I know that like in past episodes, we've been like, and Lucky Mojo says XYZ.
Yeah, they usually have a lot of like information rich stuff. Mountain Rose Herbs has usually nice little excerpts and whatnot. But yeah, I know what you mean, to where you have a landing page that's not just like 8 ounces of the, it's like it'll kind of go into some of the lore and
they
some
give,
of the,
they give a little bit. Yeah. Well, I say all that just to say that we come across similar things in our research. Have you ever come across Walmart's metaphysical section?
Because no, I don't. Well, I mean, considering the app now is going to have third, like Walmart Online has third party sellers on it, just like Amazon now. So I feel like you could get anything on there now. Okay. Probably.
So I wasn't aware of that part. I just know that when I was doing research on Witch's Grass, I was opening up all kinds of stuff, and I went to Walmart, and they had like a 25, gram. I don't know my measurement packet of witch's grass. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's strange. And I looked up at the section, you know, if you're looking at shoes, you can see the little hyperlink that just says women's shoes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you click on it. And it said like magiphysical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I clicked on it and they've got all kinds of stuff. And I didn't know, I guess now the third party seller thing makes sense or whatever. But in the moment, I did not know how I felt, because I know we've had our episode about like gatekeeping and like when the witches kits came out and like how new people, I know we've talked about this, but something did not hit me right about the very kind of conservative religious Walton family profiting off of this like stuff that they're selling. It made me feel kind of gross. And I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, there's not as much of it actually being like carried on the physical shelves. Like just like Amazon, sellers are charged a percentage. I mean, there still is money being made. They're, you know, sellers are charged a percentage transaction fee, depending on the category. But no, typically for a lot of those items, you're not going to find them in the store. Walmart's just like the hub that they can take some money off of to help get eyeballs on these products.
I guess, and it's the same kind of like side eye way that I get, like when like we went into Spencer's the other day and there's the whole wall of like white sage and Palo Santo and they're labeling it as smudge kits and
yeah,
like that.
It's definitely like, complicated. You're just like,
yeah. And you're like, you know, and I feel like we do have more nuanced opinions than we did back in the day.
Yeah. Well, because it helps make you, it kind of just makes you think that everything's fine. If it's everywhere like that, if you can walk into a store and see it all like that, you're not going to assume anything is wrong. We sure as hell didn't.
Right. And it just kind of, you know, but the thing is just it being Walmart in particular, like the giant Walmart is what kind of gave me pause.
See, I don't know. I don't see it as any different than Amazon. I mean, because Amazon sucks too. And if they're making money, you know, like they all, it's all big ass megacorps.
No, you're correct. The thing is, the thing that makes that make more sense to me is the third party seller or whatever. I just had never seen it. And I don't know. It hit me kind of strange. I feel differently now that we've talked it through. And listen, I'm glad that I brought this to you.
I'm glad that you got it out.
Listen, I want to talk to you about witch's grass or Panicum capillary. You impressed?
Okay. Wow. I am. That was pretty fluid.
Ah. So there's some AKAs for this one that are quite lovely. Okay. Now, most of these I found a good little grouping from ravensalley.net. Okay. And but I've added in a couple to this list that I found elsewhere. So witch's grass, aka couch grass.
Oh, hell yeah.
Twitch grass. Mm. Scotch quelch.
Huh.
Dog grass. Tumble grass. Panic grass.
Okay, sweet.
Tumble panic. And tickle grass.
Does it make tumbleweeds?
It does.
Oh, sweet. I blew one of those up with the car. Do you remember that giant couch-sized one that I blew up with the car? I don't even know if we talked about it.
Yeah. God, on our way back from Tucson, dude, there were tumbleweeds all over the place, which was a joy. Because I feel like even
never
though we
seen
lived,
one
like,
in my whole life.
That's the thing. Like, we lit, like, West Texas, oops, West Texas for sure has tumbleweeds, you know, and I feel like that's a part of the, when you think of the Old West, you think of a big old fat fucking tumbleweed.
Sure.
And we've never seen, I've never seen one.
No.
However, the one that, like, came out in front of Macy's car on our way back from Tucson was not a tumbleweed. Like, it could,
it was so the bush. It couldn't fat. Even roll.
She couldn't even roll, dude.
Sliding.
It was like the wind. Was just dragging it on its face.
Do you remember in GoldenEye when you could get down on one knee and slide?
Yes!
That's what it looked like.
Yes. Oh, God.
And then
exactly
I blew it
what
up.
Happened. It just GoldenEye slid in front of your car. And when she hit it... We were both a little concerned because it was so fat. We didn't know what was going to happen, but it just kind of puffed.
It was ashes. A bizarre experience. The drive back was really weird.
Sky Cow. I love how we've never talked about that again.
No.
Okay. So anyway, woof. Witch's grass. The planetary association is Jupiter. The element is Earth. And... this is one for the Sagges, the Zodiac Association, Sagittarius.
Oh. Oh.
What?
Oh, there they are.
I thought you just said no.
No.
No. So this is a plant that does well in damp areas. However, it can kind of grow most places. It does really well with long periods of drought and heat. It likes to grow in what I saw described as disturbed areas. Okay. Disturbed.
Yeah. I know what it means, but it's funny to think of another thing. The land is just really disturbed.
It's disturbed. It only grows at disturbed concerts. So what that means is like, the ditches by highways, cow fields, I guess really often like aerated things, or I don't know. It says disturbed because it grows really quickly and it doesn't like to grow around other things. It doesn't like to be crowded. Mm. So it can grow in these areas where it's like being trampled by cows all day. So trees and shit aren't coming up, but this fucking witch's grass can.
Okay.
It is native to North America, kind of from coast to coast, and it has been naturalized in other places of the world that kind of reflect a North American climate.
I feel like we are a grassy place.
Yeah. And it does love sort of that Midwest grassy
kind of plains, grassland.
And it was spread. It was... interesting because it was talking about how it was a, what did they call it? A railroad plant or like a train track plant or something like that. But it grows commonly along railroads and kind of spreads by, I'm guessing maybe the wind when the train flows by.
It carries the seed.
I guess it carries the seed. Also, the way this plant grows is very, well, think of a tumbleweed, but just like an alive tumbleweed. It's got many little arms and branches and, you know, not branches because it's a weed, but it's kind of spindly at some point.
I'm having to look up a picture of this.
Yeah, and it has different, it's interesting because it changes pretty drastically through its grow life. So at some point it's just kind of flat, flat broad leaves. And at other times the pod kind of opens up and it's got like these little spindly, hairs, I guess. Anyway, let's see. I have here, and this was supposed to be a big reveal that when it dies and it gets all dried and stuff, it can become a tumbleweed. And it's not the only plant that makes up tumbleweeds, but it is a heavy hitter because it's a hairy grass. It makes it to like, once it dies and dries out, it blows around quite easily.
Oh, I see the hair.
And that was my big tumbleweed reveal, but you kind of clocked it by the name Panic Tumble.
Panic Tumble is a great pairing of words.
Yes. And I kind of want to talk about panic. It's a panic grass. It's called a panic grass. And that is funny to me, but it mostly comes from the Latin, the panicum capillare or whatever, the first part of that panic. I think it would have been a lot better story if it was like somehow reflected in the way it grew.
Because tumbleweeds just look like they're just running away. Panic tumble, whatever.
Panic tumble. Panic tumble sounds like a band name, like a punk band.
That's how I feel about it. Like a little, some sort of like, like light thrash band.
A place that you go to with like an 80% dirty bathroom.
Yeah, it's usable.
It's like there's stickers and shit all over the wall, but the toilet's suspiciously clean.
Yeah, so it's clean thing, but like at least someone cared.
Yeah. Aw. It was probably the bassist of Panic Tumble.
It's the panic portion. The panic portion ensured that at least that bathroom's going to be usable.
Just
everything else is all tumble.
Oh, shit. Okay. Let's see. So this will grow. Let's see. We talked about it. Road ditches, stuff like that. It's also pretty common to just grow as a weed in gardens and your front yard and whatever. So Macy?
I need more help than that.
do it for me. Do a whole topic. Non-magically, mundanely.
Okay.
Mundanely, this has been used for medicine to soothe any of the linings of the body. So sinus problems, big with like the TT,
thank you for that.
UTIs. In men, it was touted as like a prostate health herb that they would drink. And when you did drink it, it was quite laxative. So anytime you needed the laxative properties, you could whip some of this out and use it in that way as well. However, anything that it was kind of like a diuretic, a laxative, and the other word that means it makes you sweat that I can't remember right now. It was kind of like a get it all out.
It also starts with a D. I think that when it starts with a D, it diaphoric or it's something weird.
But it, you know, you would just kind of take this to get it all out. You know, if you were hungover and you felt like shit, you might make a cup of this to just kind of sweat it all out. If you felt a little sick, a little under the weather, you might have this in your tea to get it all out. Constipation. And then, of course, the frequent urination would help if there was anything going on with the kidneys, bladder, urinary tract, that kind of thing. Excuse me so much. Now, I did see that this was used as it has been used as like a spice. I couldn't find what it tasted like because it was not wide used as a spice, and it doesn't seem as if it is used as a spice anymore. Because I feel like it was one of those things that like people back in the day used it because we were just, you know how precious spice is, dude?
Yes.
You know how fucking precious spice is? So, like, I think all plants at some point, they, like, gave it a go.
Sure.
To see how it would go.
For any kind of flavor?
For anything other than your, like, boiled chicken breast or whatever else. Your handfuls of mud. That's what, like, the old English ate, right? That's what they're doing at that part of Monty Python when he's just slapping mud pies together.
Yeah, that does seem like that's just all that they're doing is digging in mud.
Anyway, once used as a spice, and that's why I'm saying I don't think this is a smokable. I didn't see many people using this in smoke blends for like pleasure. It's not going to be, you put some cinnamon powder on a disc and you get that nice cinnamon scent. You know, it's not going to be a good smell your house up kind of thing. This is utilitarian if you need to add it to a blend for your magical purposes. Now, I don't think it's smokable because I didn't see that it was explicitly. So take that
part of our disclaimer. We're dumb.
Yeah. Also, be careful with any tea, of course, obviously, especially if it is something that's going to make you piss and shit and fart and sweat.
Yeah.
Let's
see. I wish I could remember what the term is for the sweating. It's driving me crazy and I can't remember it. I used to know these and I was all proud that I used to know all of the different ones and how it's like what they all do, but I can't remember. But I do feel like it starts with a D.
Damn it. I just typed in diuretic versus and I was hoping it would come up, but nothing came up. Speaking of damn it, somebody tagged me in a TikTok the other day that was like, did I send it to you? I might have sent it to you. I don't know. But it was like, here's the bands whose musical taste or musical stylings have changed over the years. And it was fucking Sugar Ray. And it was like, and it was like, but it was cool because it was like the video. You could see the video. The video was like, here's what you know it, know them for. And it's like, I just want to fly.
Wanna fly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And or every morning there's a man. And then it was like 10 years earlier and they're like on the stage in leather jackets.
Stop now, give me all your money. Sometimes I drive slow, sometimes I drive sometimes quick.
I drive quick. I gotta send it to you because it was just, it was a treat to see the video. Anyway, let's move on to the metaphys.
Diaphoretic. I looked it up. I didn't think it.
Great. I love it. Let's move on to the metaphys. So if you are adding it to your blends or carrying it around with you, which is, I will say, the popular mode of usage for this herb was to carry it on you, put into jars, scatter about your house, that kind of thing is what I saw used for the most. Here's what you can expect when using witch's grass. Protection.
And
protection. Protection as well as things that come along with protection. So hex, battling hexes, kind of keeping hexes away. Also the breaking of hexes. But it seemed to me almost in like a lighter sense, like it may not be your main ingredient for like a hex removal kind of thing. It seemed to be more like the bouncer, you know, kind of keeping things away. Even some saying that it was like a reversal. So if you're into reversing the curse, as it were, witch's grass can be good for you for that. General good luck, breaking down of things that stand in your way. So general good luck, general happiness, love and lust are big with this one. This is one I saw that did that thing that was like, if you want to keep your lover, sprinkle some under the bed. But I didn't write it down because I was like, I don't really want to perpetuate that. But now I am talking about it.
Yeah, so we're still here.
So we ended up here. But now I'm doing it with a tone of judgment. Anyway, no judgment. Do whatever. So love and lust you can use in love spells. Especially, it seems to me, just looking at the other properties, if it's like... If it's not like a horny love spell, if it's like a happy love,
love,
kind of like a love, blood, a joyful thing, like one of your more joyful, like a happy marriage spell or like a marriage battery spell, marriage being, you know, sub it in for any kind of long-term relationship. And then of course, our old friend, haven't seen him in quite a while. Exorcisms is back.
Woo, woo! Good. Needed it.
Where has exorcisms been?
I guess getting exercised.
Yeah. Yeah. They were off watching Midnight Mass.
Oh, God, we still haven't talked about that.
I know. I feel like I've needed time to absorb.
It does go out with a bang. I believe it.
Dude. Okay, look, I don't want to talk about it too much in case anyone out there hasn't seen it. But quickly, one of the things that I have appreciated a lot about Hill House and then Bly Manor was their use of musical overture. I loved how they wrote these seemingly original kind of little ditties that they would kind of work in, you know. But with this one, every single time they played a song, I was like, that sounds like fucking Nearer My God to Thee. I know Nearer My God to Thee. I know that song because of fucking Titanic. But then at the very end, they would like switch a note up or they would do something. And I'm like, did they fucking rip off Nearer My God to Thee? But then at the end, it made sense. It came back around. But anyway, just wanted to talk about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway. So, let's see. If you're wanting to keep away unwanted visitors, which is for me, unwanted visitors.
Sure.
Guarding. Yeah. If you are an introvert or if you're just, you know, a misanthrope, then hang some of this by your door or outside of your door or on top of your door. I don't care. Put it under your doormat and it will help to keep away unwanted visitors. And this is physical and non-physical unwanted visitors.
Make it your whole yard. That's your grass.
Dude, in the summer, it's just one big mat of tumbleweed. The first like really strong gust, it just peels away like a scab.
The yard just goes away.
Yeah. excuse me. Also, hearthwisdom.com says this about witch's grass. An infusion can be made and then sprinkled around your home or premises to disperse entities. Now, I saw this idea stated several times, but one of my favorite ways I saw it, and I don't remember who said it, it was essentially the same idea, but they said, keeps away petty spirits.
Hey, and that is good to know.
I feel like as soon as I got near some witch's grass, I would just evaporate because I do be petty.
I like that because every now and again, I do have a little bogey roll through and I just, that's the word that I would use to describe the entity. Petty. And it's just like, get out of here.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want to put the full, I feel like you don't need the full energy. You don't need all of the, you don't need a full ritual. Like I'm just going to kind of soak some witch's grass for half a day, kind of forget about it. And then when I remember it, dip my fingers in and just kind of flick it.
Flick you out of my house.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that's witch's grass.
Hey, nice.
And a lot of bullshit in between.
Well, regular scheduled programming.
Yeah. Yeah. We're back, baby.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to talk about blackberries.
How good is blackberry pie?
I love it. I love blackberry cobbler. It's my favorite dessert in the world.
You took it up a notch with the cobbler.
The cobbler, listen, if it's between pie and cobbler, I'm picking that cobbler every day of the week.
Every time.
If it's fruit, you know, fruit pie v fruit cobbler.
Okay.
Fucking cobbler. You know, because there are some pies, like a coconut cream pie.
I don't think you could have
grandma's chocolate pie. You know, so it's like I can't compare that pie to a cobbler. They're too
separate. Well, I don't think you could have like a chocolate cobbler.
No, fruit I think cobblers are pretty much just fruit.
I mean, I'm sure you could. You know, I'm going to Google it.
Would that just be
I'm sure someone has made it, but it just feels like cobbler already has more like bread or crust, you know? And I feel like that paired with like a heavy chocolate would put me in the ground.
But doesn't that sound pretty damn delicious to you? Like you get your chocolate stuff and then you pour the buttery flour batter mixture all in it and just bake it all together in this chocolate swirly cobbler masterpiece. I need to try that. I need to try to make this.
I take back everything I said. I just Googled chocolate cobbler and I'm about it.
Does it look delicious?
Everything
I want to look it up. Hold on.
Everything I've ever said is wrong.
I love how I typed in chocolate and then the first thing that came up after it was sweating. I don't know why.
Great. I feel like we get good insight as to who you are with that.
Yeah, I don't understand that chocolate sweating. Wow. Dude, that looks just like gooey brownies. It looks like underbaked brownies.
It looks like you took brownies out of the oven and mixed them up when they were halfway done. And you know what?
Shit, dog.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Huh. Well, if nothing else, we learned this today. Yeah. Every day is something.
There's this witchcraft podcast that I listen to. And you know what I learned today? Chocolate cobbler exists.
Chocolate cobbler.
Not like witchy stuff. No.
Dude.
No.
Listen to me. That's what we make. Mark me. Okay. That is what we make on the eve of season 3 of Virgin Rivers release. We got to ring it in big and heavy, because if I'm going to cringe myself inside out over and over and over again, I need comfort.
This is also a good plan because it ensures that we stick around, because if we're going to eat something that heavy,
I'm eating all
and get weighed down that much, it's like we're clockwork oranging ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Into watching Virgin River because we can't move because we're too weighed down.
Dude, I was real quick before we get into it. Because here's the thing. I've been watching Bridgerton and I finished the first season of Bridgerton. I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I was thinking about it and I was like, man, that is such a better show. And like, no joke, I'm not exaggerating. I was walking around my house this morning, chuckling to myself and no one else about how much worse Virgin River is as a TV show than Bridgerton. And Bridgerton's not earth shattering. It's a lot better, but like, still, I was like, man, at least it was like functional and I cared about anyone at all. Macy, and then I remembered Virgin River and how there's so much distance between me and that world right now.
I think if you go around comparing Virgin River to things, you're going to come up disappointed more times than not.
Or will I? Because it automatically makes everything else just seem better.
Seem great.
That's what I mean. I was just like, man, compare. I sat through 2 seasons of fucking Virgin River. Man, this first season of Bridgerton was actually enjoyable and it didn't cause me pain.
Tell me that Virgin River has not changed the way that you have operated and thought about things.
Oh, no, it has my heart.
Yeah.
It has me completely and fully. I can't leave it. I'm counting the days until that release date. I can't wait. I need to know what happens with this impulse. Intro baby, whatever it's called.
I want to know what's happening with Preacher. Okay.
Oh, fuck.
Tell me about Blackberries.
He got himself into that mess. Okay. John. Whatever. I'm done. All right. Blackberries. Are you ready? Do we need a stupid pop culture podcast or where we could just do this?
Where we just talk about shit?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Blackberries. Here we go.
Yes.
God. All right. It's an edible fruit. So it has a whole bunch of species and is in the genus Rubus. I like it. Rubus.
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 Is that similar to like the tea?
No, it's Rubus.
Okay.
And it is in the family Rosaceae, along with, I feel like, a ton of other shit that we talk about. So,
Rosé all day.
What's different, there's some confusion with the differences between blackberries and raspberries, especially since they can sometimes run the same color. Raspberries can be black and, you know, you can see like red blackberries. So the distinguishing difference is that when you pick a raspberry when you pick a raspberry, the stem or like the, they call it, I think the Taurus is the word, T-O-R-U-S. When you pick a raspberry, it like doesn't, it comes out of the fruit, you know, like a blackberry is hollow or a raspberry is hollow.
Sure.
That the stem comes out of it. When you pick a blackberry, the stem stays in it. That's okay. Like the part, that's the distinguishing difference between the two. It's a very simple thing, but like when you pick a blackberry, the stem and everything stays with it. When you pick a raspberry, it like cores out because the stem.
Every
stays
time you say black, every time you say raspberry, I hear snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I always want to say raspberry because I like that it's got a P in it. Mm. So it's not. Berry is the word that's not technically right in like the botanical sense. So it's technically it's an aggregate fruit is what a blackberry is.
No. No, I reject it. It's a berry. Listen, I hate all these stupid rules.
I'm gonna refer to it as a berry. This is just scientific and like scientifically, like if you're being nitty-gritty, it's technically an aggregate fruit.
But listen. These fucking scientist nerds need to back off. It's a berry.
Technically.
It's a fucking berry. And it's tomato is a vegetable.
I do like that. I do like this word. So aggregate fruit composed of small drupelets, not droplets, drupelets. And that's what the little individual seed nubbins are.
That grosses me out. It's like tryptophobia.
Blackberries?
A little bit.
No.
Well, they got like little hairs poking out and stuff, and just a little grody.
They'll poke you. I hear myself right now. Did it stop? Okay, I guess it just stopped. I had to talk about it, and now it quit echoing. Alrighty. So the way that essentially, when you're eating a blackberry, you're eating a whole bunch of tiny fruits in one set cluster. So it's like one blackberry is actually a whole lot of fruits, but we're going to call it a berry because like...
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
It is a berry. You wanted it to be a berry.
No, I mean, just the each individual little piece, that's not correct. Sorry, I was Googling to see if blackberries gave anybody else tryptophobia, and I wasn't alone. Go on.
Oh, great. I'm glad you found solace. So these drupelets, they are essentially, they form and develop around ovules. And they're fertilized by the gamete. The male gamete from a pollen grain. Bees are very important in this process. They're essentially like the singular important thing, as well as change in conditions, weather conditions. Small changes can make a big difference in this, such as like if it's a rainy day and the bees couldn't get to work, or if it's a day too hot and the bees couldn't get to work. Like anything that disrupts the bees' routine is really going to screw up the amount of times a bee can visit the flower, thus the quality of the fruits, because the bee's pollinization, that will like help it properly grow. So very, very important to proper fruiting the bees here. And the family, this family of the blackberry, it is widespread all over the place, like different continents. It's all over. There's about 375 species, and they are native throughout Europe, Africa, parts of Asia, and North and South America. So they are pretty all over the place. And they can really get out of control. Some species can, and for sure, like growing up here in Texas and just living here, they grow like wildfire here. They're wild everywhere. And like most people who have just like even a decent amount of property have some growing alongside a barn or a fence row, or even in like the city, they'll spring up near chain link fences and like abandoned parks.
I feel like most people that I have spoken to that have grown up here all have memories of growing up and picking blackberries, you know, at some point in their childhood. And either like immediately eating them or like making pie. That was mine, was like making pie with my granny. I remember that because she just had like blackberries just growing
everywhere.
And me being somewhat of a city kid, I guess, at the time, was fascinated by that.
I was too, though. I mean, even growing up here, there's something, they feel like treasure. You know, like gemstones, like little crystals, you know, to find, and they're delicious. Like, that's the thing. There's not that many things that you can just easily forage that right out of the box taste that delicious, you know, especially a sun ripened, perfectly ripe, warm from the sun's rays blackberry.
Juicy as fuck.
Oh my gosh, it'll stain the world. But it is so delicious. It is hard to beat. And so I've always really treasured them. It's not uncommon, though, for them to be cleared out around these parts as a nuisance because they are a bramble. And they're even commonly apparently referred to that. I believe in Europe, like they're just called like brambles because that's what they are. They're pokey, thorny, tangled up bramble vines. And they grow very vigorously and they can kind of create these shrubs. It is a shrub plant, but like they can really travel and they can really take over. And like, for instance, there's parts of the woods out like kind of the neighboring woods here to where they're not tall, but they've created like a 6-inch tall carpet for like a whole acre and you can't fucking walk through it. It's like a blackberry swamp almost, like because you got to traverse through it and it's thorny and terrible. Like it's a tangled mess. So it can really kind of take care of itself in that way. It can grow in woods, in shrub form, hillsides. It's not historically for sure, but also still today can be used as a perimeter plant, kind of like a hedgerow plant, because it is a barrier. It creates a barrier. Things do not want to cross it. It pokes and it hurts and it's kind of impenetrable sometimes. So can be used for that. They don't mind bad soil. They can deal with kind of variety of light. They can grow in vacant lots with no love. Like they're very hardy. They're super duper hardy plants and they can just kind of grow and take over if nobody's going to tell them not to.
When you said vacant, they can grow in vacant. My brain subbed in houses. They're just, you open up vacant houses, and they're just there.
Blackbirds are just squatters. That's just what they do. So essentially, they can grow anywhere, and they will grow anywhere if allowed it. And they can grow big and tangled and make this wall of pain if you want. Like, I remember going and picking some that were growing up alongside a barn when I was little, and these were probably every bit of 8 or 9 feet tall. Just walls of blackberries that were just huge, you know? And that's just kind of where I think of them. Like, I knew a lot of people around it, and that's where they seemed to, blackberries around the barn for some reason. It just kind of seemed to be how that is. And it's
that's where my grandma's was.
Yeah. Just, I don't know why. Memory,
yeah. Right by the barn.
Right by the barn. And being late spring now, are getting into late spring. Again, like the blooms are starting to come out. I've been seeing them starting to appear. And it made me kind of want to talk about it because it's always an exciting time. I still feel like I don't go out and pick them every year because the patches just aren't quite what they were and they're not quite as accessible. But I do look forward to when they come back every year and try to at least snag a few from, because like the mostly the ones in the woods are the very small wild blackberries that like one little berry might only have like 4 or 5 little globes on it. You know, like they're not very big. They're not like your big, like weird 2 inches that you can get in those tiny plastic containers at the store that are just like, they look like big nugs of weed, you know, like they're too big. They're kind of sus how big they are.
Kind of hairy too.
Yeah. I'm just you were man-made, but they are delicious.
I have a question, and I might be jumping ahead a bit here, but is there anything that kind of mimics the blackberry that you need to look out for?
So what's interesting and what I've heard before in watching Alone and also in reading today is that blackberries don't have any poisonous lookalikes. So they are generally a safe bet for foragers because there are no other toxic berries that look like blackberries with their globed aggregate fruit style, if you will.
So it's not going to be like a Hunger Games situation.
No, yeah. No, what was it? That's Nightlock. so, yeah, that was something that was interesting to see. You know, of course, like I'm always going to be cautious of eating berries in the wild just because that's just, I mean, like here, I know which ones are blackberries. I know my patches, you know, like, and it's East Texas. If I see a berry, it's like that looks like a blackberry. It's almost certainly a blackberry. And apparently they're not poisonous, but like still, I know my patches, you know? Mm. And I don't know. There is just a real childhood element to blackberries. Picking berries in general, I think, just has that feel to it. You know, you just remember how your hands would get stained red and the micro scratches that would just cover every part of your arms. Like, I mean, and they're almost superficial. Like, they'll gone in like a couple days. But man, just the tiny little scratches from all of those brambles. I just remember it so clearly. And those thorns. What is that face that you are making that you've been making for about three straight minutes into the screen?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I guess I forgot you could see me. I was talking about blackberries. Sometimes when you talk about your topic, I will bring up another tab to look at it as you talk about it, because I want to try to familiarize myself with it, you know, and Because I've done that with my topic, you know, I've seen it a million times. So I'm looking at these. So I was just looking at pictures of blackberries, but then it kind of wandered into like diseases and like stink bugs like to lay their eggs on them. And I was just seeing pictures of that. And that's what my face was. Yeah. But I'm still listening. I promise.
It was good. No, I was just, you had like a downturn, like this, just a face of disgust. And I knew something was causing it.
Sorry.
So the thorns have a purpose, and it's like a pretty practical evolutionary purpose. They are to keep things away. They know that they're delicious. Blackberries are well aware of how tasty they are. And so, you know, and wild animals love it. They're super into it. Bears, you know, all kinds of animals will just plow through and demolish berries. So the thorns will help be a deterrent for that, because even if an animal can get berries from like the outside edges, you know, or whatever, they're not always, and depending on the size, going to just like travel and push their way through a huge patch to get the inside berries. You know, it just has a general protective measure to it. And I've always heard, I don't know, I've never seen one in all of my times, but I've always heard that blackberry bushes attract snakes. I've heard that forever, is that they always attract snakes. Like snakes will be where blackberry bushes are. And it seems to me that that is based on how it will attract small vermin. And so snakes will just be like, hell yeah, I'll post up in this thorny fortress and wait for dinner to come into my mouth. So yes. That seems to be kind of how that goes. But I've never seen one. I kind of just for fun went and like patrolled around some like foraging forums. And I didn't see it. Basically, all I saw were comments being like, yeah, I could see it. I could see that. Yeah, it'll draw in. But like there weren't that many stories that were just like, oh, absolutely. Snakes live in blackberry bushes. But that is something that I've always heard. It's like, be careful going to pick blackberries because that's where snakes live.
I wonder if that's like one of the cautionary tales we get as kids. Because like, you know, kids are going to go pick blackberries. You know, they're going to be in the woods. So I wonder if that's like a look out for snakes. They like the blueberry or blackberry, you know, like.
Well, and it makes sense. Like, and just knowing how ginormous our chicken and rat snakes get here. Like, I mean, they'll get 6 feet long. Like they're huge, you know? And so it's like, I can't imagine them finding a spot like that and waiting, but I just don't know, you know? And if so, like they shouldn't be any harm, but I guess you never know if it's going to be like a fucking copperhead back there that's just going to try to ruin your day. But I don't know, you know, but there's that. So when you go to pick blackberries in general, wear your tall boots, you know, wear your wellies or whatever you call them, and wear some long sleeves, wear some gloves. I never do. And I'm always like, I don't need gloves. And then about 10 minutes in, I'm like, fucking damn it. This is going to itch for days. And you got to pull all the little thorns out of your skin because they break. It's just not fun. Dress appropriately if you do go a berry picking. And yeah, generally, if you're walking in Bramble, just wear good boots because you just never know if there's a sneaky snake that just wants to bite you.
And general rule of thumb when it comes to snakes, you know, just growing up in the country, I don't know if this is like something you're supposed to do. I feel like anytime I say something about snakes, a snake expert contacts me and they're like, nope. But like, I was always taught to like chunk, not at its head, of course, you know, if you don't see it, but to like chunk a rock near to where you're going, because snakes, most of the time, they don't want to fuck your day up. You know what I mean? So if they just know you're coming, they'll fuck off. So like, if you, were you ever taught that? Like if you're going to jump into a pond, throw a rock first. If you're going to walk
Typically, yeah, if you're going to walk into some tall grass or something like that, if I know one's there and I have eyes on one, I'll just typically give it a wide berth. I won't mess with it. They typically won't pursue you. Water moccasins, though, can be really aggressive. But I see there's snakes on our property all the time. Hunter, luckily, will just pick them up and move them. But like, I've seen several, and if they're sunning or, you know, if they're warming up, they're not moving, you know? And so it's like, I'll just kind of give them some space and whatnot. But yeah, that is a thing. It's like, if you ever go into tall grass, go into water, make a little bit of noise and rustle everything away. So they don't
want to move for you. Like they want to not get killed by you. So.
Yeah. You know, and typically they're docile, you know? And so, That's one thing I've really enjoyed doing is there's several, and there's for everybody, and it's kind of neat to do, but there's a lot of different Facebook groups that exist for identifying snakes in your area. And that's something I've really enjoyed. There's one for Texas and like kind of East Texas specifically that I'm in, and people just post pictures of snakes that they find all the time. And I'm getting better at it. Like for instance, we had a snake in our sump tank the other day in the aquaponics system. And I could tell what it was. And I knew it wasn't poisonous, even though it was in the water. And it was kind of neat. You know, it's just like, that's a non-toxic snake. And it was, I got to use that knowledge. But it's just generally, it's good to know, you know, the shapes of the head and the little identifying factors that make...
that's a non-toxic snake.
Yeah, the cute snakes from the spicy snakes. Cool. And so... Oh, real quick. Okay, talking about things that bite. I'm so fucking jelly right now. So the other day, this was like 3 days, 2 days ago. This happened on Saturday. He came in from outside and he started like kind of slapping around his cat. He had jeans on and something was like in his jeans. And he was saying he was like getting bitten by something, and he started and a wasp fell out of his jeans leg, and this red wasp had tagged his ankle and his like shin area three times he was and it just crawled up, I guess, like up his pant leg when he was walking outside because he was wearing flip-flops, and it just crawled up there and started biting him because they're assholes and they can just bite and bite and bite. And I immediately was like, oh my gosh, you're going to be down for days, because like the only concept I have of wasp stings are my own. And I just get stung once and it's like steroid shots and 2 weeks of recovery. Like my troll foot was one. He got stung three times. And within, okay, the difference, this is off topic, but I'm so floored by this. I just have to talk about it. And so one, he didn't hardly feel any pain. Like he was like, it kind of stings, you know, but like, not really. It's not that bad. It didn't swell like at all. It didn't do anything. It didn't do anything at all. And by the next morning, you couldn't even see. He got stung at night. And by the next morning, it was gone. It never itched. And it was like, at most it ever felt like, he's like, you know, like when you ever, like if you ever sprained an ankle and then you have to keep an ace bandage on, but you put it on too tight. So you get kind of like the stingy pains of like, and I was like, yeah. He was like, well, that's about it. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous. And so I've learned I knew that not everybody swells like I do, but I did not know that the allergic reaction in part also is responsible for making it hurt worse. And that just made it even more frustrating for me. But yeah, I'm just very jealous because it was nothing. He might as well have got stung by like a horsefly three times.
See, that's sort of my reaction to being stung. Unless it's a mosquito. I know that's not a sting, but like, I've never had like a huge reaction to stuff like that. But adversely, can't you basically roll around in poison ivy and be okay?
Oh yeah. I can eat it in a salad. I mean,
at poison ivy, I will die.
That's the dividing line in our family. It's either you get it the worst way possible or you don't get it at all. And there's no in between. And I'm happy that me and Russ got the Popeye end of it to where
I was going to say, I know Papa doesn't, he could take a bath in it. Who else dies? Does your mom die?
Yeah. Like she will sometimes like touch her dogs if they walked through it and it's like, all right, Z-Pack time. Yeah. And so,
I remember I got some out at y'all's place when I was a kid and I was out of school for four fucking days.
It's everywhere here. Yeah. I don't even think about it because of it. You know, and luckily Hunter doesn't get it either. So it's just like, I forget that like they can fuck people up, but I just don't notice it.
I do love though that like your just gut reaction to him being stung three times is like, if that was you, Macy, I don't even know what would happen to you.
I wouldn't be able to walk for several days because I couldn't walk for 3 days. I don't know because I don't think I have anaphylaxis with it. Well, I know I don't with one or two. I have what seems to be a large local reaction, I think is what it's called. So it's like, it's still tied to the area.
LLR.
I don't remember. It's something like that. But it's like there's a large area around the sting that gets affected. Like if I get stung on my foot, it will go up to my knee. Probably.
Whoa.
But if I got stung three times, probably my whole leg might swell and maybe my heart would stop. I don't know. I don't know.
What if you just got two right in the center of each ass cheek and you were just caked up for like 3 days?
That would itch so bad. Like that's the worst part. Cause like the pain is what it is, but it's like after the pain wears off, it's about 2 solid weeks. Of the worst itching in the world. And it's the whole area. So like when my foot was stolen. Swollen.
Pardon?
Swollen.
Okay.
It didn't matter where I itched it. As long as I was itching somewhere that was swollen, it itches. Oh, God. Anyway, listen, I'm going to get back on blackberries because this
blackberries.
Is pointless. So,
wow.
God. All right. Listen, they're nutritious. There's a reason they're expensive in the store. They have a lot of vitamin C. Which is good. Keeps away the scurv. You don't want the scurv.
No.
Lots of antioxidants, which we talked about in that one episode where I really talked about antioxidants forever. And a lot of vitamin K, which is good, I think, for your circulation and for your blood and your blood bones. So got all of those nutrients in there. And humans have generally been on the list for blackberry appreciators for a long time. And contents have been found in preserved stomachs. For instance, there was like a kind of like, I think it was peat preserved mummy of a Danish woman from 2,500 years ago. And there was evidence of blackberries in her stomach and her stomach contents that they were able to figure out. And even there seems to be evidence from 8,000 years ago as well. So of humans consuming blackberries for fodder. For food.
Right.
Their prevalence around the world it just has made them something that humans have sought out. You know, it made sense to do, and you can travel like to new places and they're still there. You know, it's like, oh, hey, those are probably those non-poisonous blackberries. And so humans adapted to them. They're very nutritious, which is nice because it's very hard to live on your own, providing your own food. So finding tasty, nutritious things in the wild is always a score. That's just always good. And so humans have sought them out just like the bears have and other animals. And to make it something, a little fun fact about the blackberry. So when Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, was made president of the United States in 1861, at his inauguration lunch, they served blackberry pie. And it was part of his little inauguration celebration. So the humble blackberry made it all the way to the White House, which I thought was really nice.
I feel like at the time, that would have been like trashy.
Well, he was kind of common folk. And part of me feels like, I don't know anything about any of this, but it kind of is like a nice statement, I feel like. It's kind of like a people's dessert, you know, like a humble dessert.
It would be like real, like, did you hear? It was like, you remember when like Obama went and got like the beer? And I think he was in Ireland.
Yeah.
He like
he's
went
one of Guinness. Us. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's like, he drink a beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, was it like that?
I don't know, but it does. It's like kind of like literally seems like humble pie. You know, it's just like, it's, you know? So anyway, thought that was a fun little fact.
Speaking of, what is humble pie? You know what? We got to quit deterring from the topic, but what the fuck is humble pie?
I don't know, but you can definitely tell that neither of us are having any ability to focus today because we have Googled way more thing. We never usually Google anything on air, and I feel like we have Googled like six things this episode.
I'm gonna stop focusing talking and let you finish this. I'm sorry. I'm very inquisitive today.
I'm the same way. Like I'm just kind of head in the cloudsy today.
You can't help it that we're thirsty for knowledge.
We're so thirsty for knowledge. Oh. I mean, that's just how we are. That's how people, you know, that's when people describe us. That's what they do say.
They're thirsty for knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. That will Oh, those two, man, they're just so thirsty for knowledge.
Real vacuums for learning.
Just suck it up. Ew.
No, I think they just say they suck.
They do. Well, honestly, that is much more concise and much more appropriate. So let's get into the metaphys here. Let's talk about what you can do with blackberries. And you can do a lot, and they can pack a punch. So first and foremost, prosperity, baby. And it makes sense. And especially in the form of money, in the form of bringing in some money. So when you look at this plant, it's not that surprising. So let's zoom in. Let's start super zoomed in, which I now feel like will make you uncomfortable knowing how you feel about blackberries, but zoom in. And we're just looking at one, what was it called? A drupelet? I don't remember.
One of the little nibbles.
Globe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at that and you're like, this looks like a piece of obsidian. This looks like a gem. This is a shiny, beautiful thing. Then you zoom out a little bit and you're like, oh shit, this is like one of many. This whole thing is made out of money. This whole thing is made out of gemstones. And then you zoom out further and you're in this patch of gemstones made of gemstones. Shit. And so
I'm rich.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like when you just look at it and how they're made and they're just kind of like abundance on abundance. And they just look like money and they feel like money when you find them. They're a treat to find. And so it kind of fits that they have this abundant kind of thing. However, they come with the added bonus of the natural energy of this plant is retention. So not only is it abundance, it's like, yeah, look at these, my beautiful bounty, but you can't fucking have any because I'll poke you. And that is kind of nice because, I feel like we bring this up somewhat regularly, but it's when I like to do, like, I don't do prosperity spells very often, especially in the forms of money. I guess I don't do money magic very often, but when I do, I like to maintain some sort of net at the bottom to make sure that the flow doesn't just flow in and out. You know, it's like, all right, here's your money and it's gone, you know, to where it's like make some sort of retaining wall.
Some sticky. You need something to make it kind of stick.
Yeah.
I say sticky because I typically use honey. But I could see the same for blackberry because it's got that almost Velcro-y.
Well, yeah. And it's like you have your whatever you brought in surrounded in this protective tassel of thorns, you yeah. know? And it's like, stay that's away. Kind of what it does. The whole energy is like, look at this fruit, but you can't eat it because I'm going to scratch your nose if you try. And so I aww. Like that. And I just think it's nice to get those prosperity type elements that you can use in your magical workings that also have that like, all right, you can bring it in, but we're also going to help you keep it because this is ours, you see? Like, and that's kind of handy. It's kind of nice. So, and of course, protection is a given here. They're very valuable to use in protection magic. Because these brambles are no joke. You know, it's not like they're like some like desert thorns, you know, like do you remember some of those thorny bushes that like Kim had in her backyard, like that were like serious? Like they're not like that, but they can really just kind of fuck you up a little bit, you know, like they'll trash your skin up a little. They'll scrape
they'll
you up.
Death by a thousand cuts you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like road rash, you know, and it's just not pleasant. It's not super fun. And they're a good deterrent. And that's the word that I like from, you know, they've been used for boundary plants and whatnot before, because that's their nature is people don't want to cross through them. And a lot of animals don't want to cross through them either if they're big enough. It's not fun. So adding elements of this plant, whether it be the leaves, the brambles themselves, such as branches or the berries, can be used in spells for warding your property or protecting from potential threats. And their thorny nature will help add this defensive nature, this nature of deterrence to where it's like, you know what, if you are kind of a nasty, you just need to keep on walking because you don't want to pass through here. You know, it's not necessarily like there's cannons pointing out of your window. It's like, it's a deter. It's just like a, you don't want to come here. This isn't the place for you. You know, and that's
keep
kind of
walking
the nature.
Cheese weenie.
Keep walking, cheese weenie. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you can, and please do like wear gloves if you do this, but you can weave the brambly, thorny stems and whatnot into a protection wreath. It'd be terrible. Just don't do it. But wear some nice gardening gloves or some leather gloves, kind of like, you know, those like a work gloves. Like my mom always had them. They were like a pale buckskin color. And they, for some reason, had a little red bead that hung off of them. And I don't know why, but you could find them in any hardware store. But wear like some decent gloves, but you can weave like a wreath, like where the base is these blackberry brambles. And you can hang that up to where it's like, that's on your door facing out. So it's like, that's what people have to confront. So I think that's like a good energy to face outward. If you do want to have that kind of protection element with embodying what the blackberry has to offer. And I found this is a fun little thing. And this is not too dissimilar from some of the other lore that we've talked about in the same vein, but this is from magicandalchemy.com. I'm just reading this directly. Blackberries were considered protective against earthbound spirits and vampires. According to folklore, if planted near a home, a vampire could not move past a blackberry bush without first counting each berry branch and thorn. They would become so distracted and forget what they were doing, or they would count for so long that the sun would be rising and the bloodsucker would be forced to retreat. Even when gripped with bloodlust, a vampire was said to be captivated by a blackberry bush. So there's that.
Even when gripped by bloodlust.
Yeah, they still just, they got to stop and count. I love that flaw so much in vampires. And it's also demons.
Vampires. Yeah. There's
hellish creatures. It seems.
Yeah. Something else recently popped up. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So there's that, in case you ever needed to know.
Anyone with what I'm learning here is anyone with counting style, obsessive compulsive disorder is a demon. Great.
There you go. Figured it out, cracked it.
More demonizing of mental health conditions throughout our time. Yay.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. I didn't even think about that. You know, so does that mean that if people did have that condition and displayed it, that people thought that they were vampires?
Or demons.
Because that's not new. You know, I mean, like this has been, it's a condition. So that had to have happened.
So I don't know. You probably got put on one of those boats that just got set out to sea and no captain. And they were just like death boats.
Huh. Well, there you go. Historian, let us know.
I don't know. Anyway.
So the leaves of the blackberry have a lot of power on their own. They can be used in return to sender spells, things where you are wanting to return back the ill will or perhaps any just kind of evil, nasty magic to where it came from if someone has sent it to you, as well as banish any lowly entities that just don't mean well. You want them out. The leaves can be burned in an incense blend, used as a strewing herb. You can bunch them together and hang them in doorways, as well as just like clip a section of it, and you know, with even berries and whatnot involved, and like the thorns, and have that on there if you wish to utilize them in your banishment practice. So, lastly, I've got a fun little bit of lore for you to close out this topic. So, this surrounds Michaelmas, or the Feast of Saint Michael, which falls on the 29th of September. But also, I saw this date floats all over depending on the location, not necessarily for Michaelmas, but for like this specific thing that I'm going to talk about as to like the date for stopping doing this. However, in this example, like Michaelmas Day, the devil kind of takes possession of the blackberries via numerous ways that I'll get into. There's all kinds of methods depending on who's telling the story and where it's being told.
Great.
And you are not to eat them after that day. You don't even think about it. You do not eat one at all. You might risk death or misfortune, or it just might taste really bad. It might poison you. But the point of the story was, on Michaelmas Day, the devil fucked with the blackberries and made it so you can't have them anymore. So there's a lot of sources that say how he does this, how he messes with them. What does he do? So here we go. He can put his foot on them. He can step on them. He steps on all the blackberries. He ruins all the blackberries. He
puts his foot on them.
He passes one of his hoof feet over the blackberries, and they just, and they get bad. They feel bad.
Now I taste bad.
Yeah, I'm bitter. And he drags his tail over them, which makes me kind of feel like he wipes his ass on all of the blackberries.
Yeah, yeah, I don't.
He waves or throws his club over them, and they turn.
Throwing seems cumbersome because then you got to go pick it up.
He spits on them, which is probably the most prevalent, and he pisses on them.
Love that one. That's devil my
pisses
favorite.
On all. It's my personal favorite too. Is that on Michaelmas Day, the devil just pisses on all the blackberries. Yeah. So, like everything, though, or like not with everything, but like with many stories like this, they're deep in it. There is a nugget of pragmatism in there, and there is here. So around the time. Of around this time, Michaelmas Day, or the date changes in the physical location. So like some other places that stay warmer longer, their lore was a little bit later, you know? So it's like they have later dates depending, but it all kind of seems to correlate on when the frosts come and the weather turns and blackberries become susceptible to mold and rot. So if you eat them, you might get sick, you know? And
the devil pissed on them.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's kind of one of those things where it does seem a bit cautionary to where it's like they used the devil as the deterrent because how scary is the devil, especially then, you know, like yikes.
Yeah.
And so like, don't do it because the devil pissed on those berries, but in reality, they might just make you sick, you know? And I feel like you could just say they might make you sick, but you know, not everybody believes it. And people were really scared of the devil. So
Yeah. Yeah, way more scared of the devil than you were of dysentery or whatever. But like my problem here with this is like don't eat them after a certain date, but this date is floating. So I'm just, you know what? I'm just gonna call it quits on blackberries in general.
Well, it's late fall. The cutoff date for all of them is in the fall. And that
I'll have a hot summer day blackberry.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's kind of what's going on here. And so it's blackberry, it's the turn of the season that seems to spoil the berry. But this superstition seems to be pretty deep running, which is interesting. And it also seems very largely European, more so. But I was in some like reading some blogs and forums and whatnot where it was like even people still to this day kind of heed that. you know, and just kind of like the not planting before Easter. Like that's those long superstitions that kind of hang around to where it's like, no, you don't eat blackberries after Michaelmas, or you don't eat blackberries after Samhain, which is another one.
Oh,
depending again on the location and how warm it stays and whatnot for a while. But yeah, so I wanted to end on that. I just thought it was a bit of interesting lore and whatnot, but that's blackberries for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am about to be so rich.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I'm ready. I'm going to go hunting for them this year. I didn't go pick any last year, but I do know of some spots out in the woods where they grow, and I want to go see if I can get me some this year.
Dude, that's the video we make. Remember last year we were going to do a pie?
Well, I still want to do that because that would be really fun, because that's going to be an easy, fun day. We could bring our sun hats and just walk down rows of organic blueberries and pick them right off the bush. This is going to suck. This is going to be not pleasant work.
Laborious.
Yeah. Yeah. Scratchy, uncertain work.
I swear you were going to say uncircumcised. So this weekend's the full moon. How you feel about that?
I didn't know that.
I've been very into moon cycles here recently. I read a book, and now I'm all about the moon cycles.
I want to get into it.
I have a hot pipe and can of beans to what? I mean, of reviews to wash that down with.
pour it on me.
Okay, here we go. So today's review comes from Flowering Wild, and it's entitled "Loving This."
Okay.
Great listen. So much awesome info told as you're just sitting around with friends. Perfect if you're a newbie looking for your own coven. So glad I found this podcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
Flowering Wild.
Flowering Wild. That's pretty.
And let's see, if you want to do something with us, what was the story about somebody said, if you want to come eat with us on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. That was super sweet. Someone was traveling down to Texas on a trip, and they said that their partner was like, well, you know, we could, do you want to like stop in DFW? Like, you know, like you could like get dinner with the, like the girls, your girls that you listen to, you know? And then they were like, well, is there like a thing going on? Is there like an event going on? I don't know if we could do that. And the partner was like, well, yeah, but they say, come eat with us on Facebook. So like, and it's the sweetest story in the world. I can just see that conversation of like this really enthusiastic partner just being like, yeah, your girls, you know, they always say like,
that's so,
you
know, sweet.
Come eat with us on Facebook. I just really thought that was the sweetest thing in the world. It gave
that's
me a nice
the sweetest thing.
Chuckle.
I die. Cute. But come eat with us in spirit on Facebook. Search Witch Amateur Hour. No bitch on Facebook. Remember that? Remember when we used to say that?
Yeah. No bitch on Facebook. You can also search the whole name. It'll show up. You'll find it. And then you can find the coven pages somehow. What is that in? What's it like, in entertainment community? What is it in?
It was discussion. Then it was community.
I move it every fucking day. Go to wherever you find groups. In a group or in a page, and you'll see them. There is the coven page that's private, and also the private Patreon group for patrons.
For patrons, there's an Instagram over at
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
We kind of sort of have a Twitter.
We don't. I mean, we do, but we don't.
It exists at
Bitch Hour.
We have an email address. Send in here's a formal call to action. Send in a few things here. Do you have spooky stories that you would like read in a future spooky time, whatever we're calling it, spookysode? Send those in. Put spooky somewhere in the title. Let's see. Send in your EVPs.
Yes. I would love
to feature some EVPs on our 20th spookysode. So that is urgent. Do that right now. Stop what you're doing. Go to your EVP file that you surely have on your computer. Mm-hmm. Send it to us. Add a little story if you'd like. Urgent EVPs now. God damn it. put EVP somewhere in the title. And then if you just want to write us to tell us how cute we are, you can do that too. It's WBAH@gmail.com.
It's WBAHpodcast@gmail.com.
It's WBAHpodcast@gmail.com. let's see. What else? We do have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/WBAHpodcast.
Give us a support. If you can, we'd really appreciate it. We have got plans that we would like to do, and plans unfortunately take money. And so any your support really helps with that. It helps with our travels. Our travel fund right now is pretty fucking depleted.
After the Tucson.
Yeah, after but Tucson and Anahatas last year, dude, with all the flights and whatnot.
We got to meet, we got to have that bonfire with the Tucson bean can. And like legitimately, we wouldn't have been able to do that without the patrons.
Yeah, that's just, seriously.
We like, appreciate that was, you is all yes. we're trying to say.
So if you do want to support the show, like that's in part where your support goes is things like that. It helps us get out, get our feet on the ground and our wheels on the road and get out there and see you guys and come to things and travel. So that's just one of the things. We do videos over there. We do blogs over there. Rocco and Laser live there, and I've been itching to revive them so bad. Rocco is in me, and he wants to get out.
There's a lot of subtext there, but I will say Rocco and Lays have a sweet adventure coming up.
It's coming. And it is going to be their
very excited about
nicest
that.
Location they've ever investigated.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I feel like they took the job because of the location.
Yes.
And they're going to do a very half-assed job actually looking for ghosts. But most of the time it's going to be relaxinating.
Oh, yeah. Rocco's going to have a bucket from Itzy in his hand the whole time. Dude. Like Julian. He's going to be like Julian.
Yeah.
But instead of like a whiskey and Coke, it's just a bucket. Every shot.
Every shot, he's got a bucket. And I feel like Laser is he. I want Laser to either one of two things. He always has like a really pretty crafted drink, or he's just double fisting beers.
I mean, thus far, dude, that's kind of the vibe because in the tea party episode, he drank some beer and he drank some fucking Miller and he did it and then ate a cookie with a mouthful of beer.
Eating that whole cookie and then drinking that beer, I hope one person watches that video to make that worth it.
Dude. It was method. That was a moment. That was a method moment. You were Laser.
It was one of the grossest shits.
It looked so unpleasant.
It was so nasty. Anyway. We have a P.O. box because handwritten letters are magic. P.O. box 865, Canton, Texas, 75103.
Yep. She's there. I got to pay for her. I got the notice that she's going to be up for grabs again at the end of April. So I got to secure her.
Oh, God,
again.
Dude.
6 months has already gone by.
Remember? Oh, fuck.
I almost fucked us last time because like I missed the date last time. And I remember I almost made skid marks pulling into that driveway when I finally, it was like Monday morning at 8 a.m. And I was like, I need our P.O. box. Did you give her away?
Dude, I can't even imagine what it would be like for the person to have Sawsbox after we didn't get Sawsbox. They would just constantly receive weird witch shit and they would be freaked out.
It just can't be. It cannot be.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we leave you. Enjoy your full moon this weekend. Enjoy your Easter if that's your thing.
I see a full moon rising.
Oh, my. Watch out for zombie Jesus, and because you know they say it's the full werewolf Jesus, not zombie
werewolf Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, werewolf
I'm
Jesus.
Mixing my genres. And what else? What else? What else? Send us your fucking EVPs, or we're gonna crawl EVPs through your window at night,
look at my goddamn eyes,
bed, and choke you to death.
Put our fingers in your mouths and your open sleeping mouth.
We're just gonna stand at your feet and kind of look at you.
Oh God. Okay. Listen, goodbye everyone.
Goodbye.
See you next week. Assuming. Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Well, maybe.
Probably.
It's always a gamble.
I love trash.